Let me know if this sounds like you. You're a teacher who's at their wit's end, burned out, or maybe you're just stressed to the max. You want to get on the road to burnout recovery, but you don't know what to do, how to get there, or if it's even possible. I hear you and I want to help, but we didn't get into burnout on the same path. So why should recovery be any different? That's why I wanted to share with you a brand new free resource that I have on my website. It's called the Personalized Roadmap to Teacher Burnout Recovery. In this quick, less than 5 minute quiz, you'll answer questions that will help identify your needs, your strengths, and your weaknesses. Once you've completed it, you will have access to the Personalized Roadmap to Burnout Recovery that's going to give you your next best steps to take on your recovery journey, packed with resources and support along the way. Head over to teachingmindbodyandsoul.com/quiz or head over to the link in the show notes. I cannot wait to see your action steps along the way. Enjoy today's episode. Welcome back to episode 29 of the Resilient Teacher Podcast. If you've been waiting for a good interview, let me tell you, today's guest is amazing. And I had to have her on the show because there is this phenomenon that's happening in education currently. And if you're a teacher, you'll understand. I've talked in previous episodes about how really the pandemic really set us up to be in fight or flight for long periods of time. And honestly, the pandemic, that uncertainty of all of it, really led to some traumatic events, not only for us as teachers, but for our students as well. And we can see this really manifest in particular behaviors or a lack of social skills in the classroom today. But because we are teachers, we wanted to make a difference. We're often really empathetic and caring for our students, which is good, right? But what ends up happening is called compassion fatigue. And often confused with burnout, compassion fatigue is a secondary traumatic stress disorder that can onset suddenly and lead to an extreme state of stress, tension, resulting in those feelings of hopelessness and indifference and pessimism. And unlike burnout, which really occurs from teachers or caregivers being too busy and neglecting their own health, compassion fatigue really stems from not being able to remove themselves from their work long enough to recover and revive. And Isis Clay, who you'll meet in a few minutes, talks all about this in our episode together. You're going to love her storytelling, but also the information she gives us today about the cost of caring for our students. So let's go meet Isis. Hey there, and welcome to the Resilient Teacher Podcast, the podcast giving overwhelmed and burned out teachers inspiration, sustainable strategies, and reigniting passion for teaching. I'm Brittany, a special education teacher and teacher resilience and retention strategist, and I am on a mission to inspire educators to prioritize their mental health and individualize their self-care routines so that they can live a balanced, fulfilling life as an educator while making a bigger impact in their classrooms and communities. Each week, I'll be sharing tips, strategies, mindset shifts, and discussing hot topics in teacher resilience with other knowledgeable experts so that you can ditch the overwhelm, prevent burnout, and create the life you've been dreaming about. So let's get started, and let me remind you that you too are a resilient teacher. Before we get into this episode, I wanted to give a Community Reviewer of the Week shout out to Sarah Askins, who left a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. She says, "I am a high school English teacher and have been in the profession for 15 years. I love how practical these episodes are and share things that I can do now to help make my work life better." Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to leave a review. I truly am grateful for your review, and I want to make this known. When I create these episodes, that's absolutely my goal. I want to create practical methods or ways of explaining how to recover from and prevent burnout that you can take and like use immediately, but also like how to reignite that passion for teaching by reminding you of your strength, of your authenticity, and really simplifying teacher tasks in schools so that you can actually enjoy what you do. And it really means so much to me that what I'm doing, crafting, bringing to educators is really helping support you. So if you're here, thank you so much for being with me today. It would mean the world to me if you would leave the show a rating or review. I have this lofty goal to hit 30 podcast reviews by the end of 2022, and we're so close to that goal. So as I record this episode today, we are only 13 written reviews away from that, like clickety-clack reviews, typing on a review on my phone right now, type of reviews, and only 13 away from hitting that goal. So if only 13 of you who are listening, which according to analytics is a gross underestimate of those of you who are listening, then we can hit that goal. And that really helps support the podcast in reaching more earholes of educators who need this type of mindset shift, support, validation, all of that good stuff. So yes, please go and do that. And once we hit that goal, then I'm going to be doing a podcast only giveaway. So if you do leave a review, please make sure you just DM me on Instagram so I can put your name in the virtual hat. And once we hit that 30 reviews, I'll be doing that giveaway. But in today's episode, I want to talk about compassion fatigue, specifically because I know so many educators who may be confusing compassion fatigue for burnout. And I had the opportunity to work with an amazing educator in the second annual Summer Self-Care Conference back in July of this year. Her presentation was all about using creative writing to heal from burnout and compassion fatigue. Super inspirational. So if you got to hang out with us for that, you know who I'm talking about. Isis Clay is a distinguished theater educator, a professional theater artist. She's best known for her solo show, Sculpting Clay, or How I Became Mother of Unicorns. It's a fantastical look at one teacher's epic journey through the education, battling compassion fatigue and burnout while finding hope on the other side. She's also written and developed curricula for school districts and many local and regional theater companies. She combines her extensive background in theater and education, and she founded Sculpted Clay Productions, LLC, where she uses theater-infused residencies and professional development workshops to help schools address teacher and student mental wellness and inspire deeper conversations around creativity and humanity in education. Welcome to the Resilient Teacher Podcast, Isis. I'm so excited to have you here. You and I were definitely cut from the same cloth, as I was huge into theater and actually participated in a traveling theater troupe. So that's really cool. But you're so unique in using yours to facilitate your mission.
That is awesome. I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah. So can you share with the listeners a little bit about your background? What got you passionate about supporting teachers?
Yeah, absolutely. So first, thank you so much. And yes, I'm so excited to be here. I listen to your podcast and I love your perspective on burnout and supporting teachers. I was never supposed to be a teacher. In my mind, I was going to take Broadway by storm and I was going to be, you know, a theater practitioner for the rest of my life. But when I got out of college, I majored in theater, and I got out of college, I started a family very early, and we needed some funds. Mm-hmm. and a struggling actress at the time was not going to get it. And so I fell into teaching, kicking and screaming. But it didn't take long for me to fall in love with the aspect of connection. I didn't have any kind of pedagogy. I didn't have any kind of idea of what it was to be a teacher. My very first teaching job was at the Maryland Department of Juvenile Justice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. and my husband and I both went up for the same job, actually. And he was a teacher. He went into education. And when they found out that I had a theater background, they were like, oh, the kids would love that. Okay, we're going to hire both of you. And I'm like, okay.
Okay. Well, I guess that's what we're doing now.
I guess what we're doing is we're teaching theater now to students who are incarcerated. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I went in and again, had no idea how to teach, but I knew how to connect. And I connected with those young people. As you can imagine, it was some of the toughest times for those children, you know?
Absolutely.
And there was a lot of trauma that they were experiencing. And I always tell people, when I was in the classroom for 18 years. Remember, I went kicking and screaming and stayed for 18 years. But there was no professional development to teach us how to deal with vicarious trauma or that empathy part of most educators. You know, we go into education caring, wanting to help young people. And we hear about their trauma and what we can do for them, but we don't get the support that we need for what can we do for us and make sure that we are caring for our spirits. And so, yes. And I ended up having to leave because of that. I ended up losing several students to gang violence, gun violence. And so I fled. I will say that I fled to public school thinking, yay, this is going to be so different. No rough home lives,
right.
No trauma.
Yeah.
That was not the case at all, obviously. But I taught theater at a performing arts school for many, many, many years, the department chair, and did the whole thing, and actually kind of lost my dreams for theater for myself.
Yeah.
And buried them into the students that I taught. And but as I said, and as we all know, you know, public schools come with a lot of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Schools, period, especially yes. now.
Mm-hmm.
Even before the pandemic, especially now. And I was one of those teachers that students would come to and would tell all the things that was going on with them. And because I didn't have the wherewithal or the knowledge of what to do with that besides report, you know, mm-hmm. they tell us report when we hear these things. But I would just suck it up. Unfortunately, I've lost three students, three more students. And so I've had to deal with a lot of loss. I didn't know what to do with that. And so I left the classroom in 2018, but very quickly realized that my heart was still in education and still with the teachers that I worked alongside of, the teachers that I just fell in love with. You know, we mm-hmm. fell in love with our colleagues, you know, not all of our colleagues.
Right. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
But yeah, you know, we there's a sense of camaraderie when it comes to teaching, you know, where it's like, you don't know what it's like until you've been in a classroom.
Right.
You know, and I couldn't turn my back on that, especially when I started realizing that what I was experiencing was compassion fatigue on top of burnout, and that this was a thing. It wasn't just me, you know, being weak.
Right.
You know, and not being able to deal with it. No, this was a thing.
Yeah.
And I saw that in so many other teachers. And I was like, okay, we got to do something with it. The methods that I use to heal, that's what I offer mm-hmm. to educators now.
Yes. And, you know, I think that's not talked about enough.
Oh,
how
no.
often we, as educators, because we are empathic, because we give our all to our students,
yes.
we end up taking some of their trauma and putting it on ourselves. And nobody ever talks about that. And that is one of the reasons why I really wanted you to come on to the show, is not just because you're an amazing educator or an amazing performer, but you also have this unique perspective, different than anything I've ever seen for teachers who need support and understanding compassion fatigue. We know compassion fatigue has somewhat been a buzzword. And before we really get into exactly what that is and how you teach, can you give a little bit of background about what the difference is between compassion fatigue and burnout?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Burnout is a systemic thing. So
mm-hmm.
it comes definitely with the job, you know, when the job asks for more than is humanly possible. I will say
exactly.
that, you know, and there's withdrawal, there's negativity, there's frustration, there's anger, there's being tired. With compassion fatigue, it's where it's the cost of caring. Is what
mm-hmm.
they say. It's the cost of caring. And so what happens with compassion fatigue is you are absorbing, like you just said, the traumas, not just of the students, but also maybe of colleagues,
mm-hmm.
The people around you. Usually it's for those we care for, those people that are in our care. But because we are with colleagues so much, it can also come from that. And I like to explain how there's a continuum, right? So you can be on one side of the continuum when you have compassion fatigue, where it's hyper empathetic, where everything that you're told from someone, every trauma that a student experiences, you take it on your heart. And you worry and you think about it all the time. You almost obsess about it. You have nightmares about it. Maybe have this sense of sadness and this sense of grief that you don't know where it's coming from, but you just feel so sad and maybe even lead to depression. The other end of the spectrum is detachment, where it's like, well, I ain't got nothing to do with me. That has nothing to do with me. Oh, well, it sucks, but what can I do? Mm-hmm. It's maybe even avoidance of those students or those colleagues or working with a certain group. It can also come with physical ailments, just like burnout. Burnout mm-hmm. comes with physical ailments. And so a lot of times that line blurs for people, mm-hmm. but the main difference is the empathetic side of it, where you are taking on, vicariously taking on that trauma that others are experiencing that you necessarily haven't experienced. I, for one, have never experienced at that time when I was dealing, when I was teaching in the juvenile detention facility, had never experienced gun violence. I had never experienced poverty at the level that they were experiencing. I was from a very small town and mm-hmm. I experienced poverty, but not at that level.
That level, yeah.
So I had no clue on what that was, but all of these stories, all of these traumatic events that these young men and women were experiencing, I felt it. I mm-hmm. felt it in my heart and to the point where it wasn't just like, oh, I feel for you. I felt terrified. You know, I would go home at night and couldn't watch the news, refused to watch the news because I just knew that one of their names was going to pop up. Mm-hmm. I just knew that they were going, you know, someone was going to come and tell me that someone was shot. I just knew it. I just knew mm-hmm. it all the time. Obsessive. And so that's really the difference.
Yeah. I mean, I have never experienced anything quite like that, but I do know that teachers, when I think about like my colleagues, when mm-hmm. I had a colleague that, you know, was dealing with cancer treatment mm-hmm. and things like that, and the amount of pressure that she had on herself, all of that, I became kind of obsessed with worrying about her. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I love how that you brought that up, because then it got my wheels turning about how have I had compassion fatigue in my past where it may not have been from the students, because I have experienced it with the students, but I've also had that with fellow educators as well. And
absolutely.
So for those teachers who are like, I think I might be suffering from compassion fatigue. Mm-hmm. Do you have any like signs or symptoms that they can look for on that continuum or become more aware of to determine if that's the situation that they're currently facing?
Yeah, absolutely. So before I even go even further, one of the things that we want to make sure that we are being very cognizant of is our own traumas, mm-hmm. our own triggers. And those people who have experienced trauma in their own lives are more susceptible to compassion fatigue. They're more susceptible to seeing someone else's trauma and turning it into something that can absolutely happen to me, and it will happen to me mm-hmm. because it's happened, you know, something similar or smaller has happened in the past. And so we have to be very careful. So if you have experienced trauma before, that's something to look out for, to be mindful of. The other thing is if you are dealing with a population, that is experiencing high levels of trauma, that right there is a mm-hmm. is a sign. Even if you've never experienced trauma, if you're dealing with a lot of students who are, that's something that a warning sign to, mm-hmm. to kind of be careful for. And we know that, I think there was a study that just came out. Oh my gosh, I wish I had the study right in front of me. But the number of students who are experiencing trauma has exploded now. Mm-hmm. And so whereas before the pandemic, you know, there may be two or three students in your classes that are experiencing a high level of trauma. Now, at any given time, two or three students per class at mm-hmm. the minimum. At the minimum. And so there's that. Another thing is obsessive thoughts. I know, again, like I said before, one of my triggers or one of my things was when I was on vacation on the weekends, I couldn't sleep, sleeplessness, mm-hmm. because of obsessive thoughts about this child or about this person or about, you know, the situation. Major fatigue, which is a burnout symptom, mm-hmm. where you just, you know, don't know where this fatigue is coming from, but you just feel tired all the time. Yeah. So a lot of the symptoms that we have with burnout, again, they manifest itself in our bodies the same way with compassion fatigue. Taking a moment to look at, okay, is there something, am I talking with a student or am I helping a student or another person deal with a traumatic event that I haven't necessarily been doing before?
Yeah. You know,
assessing how I'm mentoring students or how I'm mentoring or being a friend.
Yeah. And I think we have to be aware. There is a huge piece of the teacher prep programs that I have been a part of, that I have talked with other teachers about. Mm-hmm. That piece that's missing is that self-awareness piece. And so often we get stuck in this is what teachers look like. And we lose ourselves in that because we're not aware at 19 years old or 20 years old when these kids are going into these teacher prep programs, they're not aware of who they are. They don't know what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are. And so when we're now in these situations in the classroom, we have to kind of take a step back. We have to say, who am I? Mm-hmm. And become more self-aware so that we can recognize things like compassion fatigue and burnout so that we don't get stuck in a cycle of it.
I agree. And you said something, you hit it right on the head that, you know, we have this idea of what a teacher should be.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we do know who we are and what we love and what we do, sometimes some teachers can bury that because mm-hmm. it doesn't mirror what
good they teachers.
Think a teacher should mm-hmm. do or should act or should say or should wear or should whatever. That is such it's such a shame because mm-hmm. as we both know, authenticity in the classroom is really what
connects
and brings a student engagement.
Right.
You know, if you're a robot teacher, they're going to see that. They want to connect with a real human and bringing that to the classroom. But even beyond engagement and connecting with students, it's really what will keep you healthy as an mm-hmm. individual, as a human, as you deal with other humans' experiences. So yeah, I'm so glad you said that. There's no such thing as that. Students need you authentically, but more importantly, you need you authentically mm-hmm. every day. Your family needs you authentically. All the quirks, you know, all the things that make you wonderfully you.
Yes. And I just recorded an episode where I'm talking about how I was told that teachers should be, how I wasn't allowed, like I wasn't supposed to wear my nose ring. I wasn't supposed to have tattoos. I wasn't supposed to dress the way that I wanted to or mm-hmm. act the way that I wanted to, because that is not what a teacher does. And so that just kind of reemphasizes how important it is to be self-aware mm-hmm. and be authentic to you, because then what can end up happening is you're not recognizing these symptoms of compassion fatigue. You're not recognizing these symptoms of burnout. You really did something that was awesome. You put all of your strengths as a professional and as a person, and you talk about creativity to help boost that joy and resiliency. So can you share with the listeners a little bit about what that is, what that looks like, maybe like talk about one piece of the puzzle?
Yeah, absolutely. So I said before, you know, my love, my heart, my joy is theater, and it will always be theater. But beyond that, I was talking to, I always tell stories, but I was talking to a adult, one of my clients, like this is maybe like 2 years ago. And I asked them, you're like, what do you do to play? And they were like, what do you mean? I'm an adult. I'm an adult. I'm like, yeah. And what does that mean? And so it took me down this rabbit hole, and I started talking to people, especially people who were dealing with burnout and, you know, stress, a lot of stress. I'm like, well, what do you do to de-stress? And they're like, well, I'll veg out on, you know, TV. I'll watch some TV. Okay, but what do you do? And no one really could give me that answer. And I'm like, okay, well, do you draw? And they're like, no. Do you sing? Well, I used to sing when I was little, but nah, not anymore. Okay, why don't you sing anymore? And then, so I started asking these questions, and what I found was a lot of adults have it in their mind that thing that they used to love doing, that drawing, that singing, that, you know, acting out little scenarios, that, you know, playing hopscotch, all this stuff, are childhood things that need to be tucked away and put away, even though it gave them a lot of joy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or I found out that somewhere in their mind, maybe it was some evil person that told them this, or maybe it was their evil inner mind that told them this, that they weren't good at something.
Mm-hmm.
And so they stopped.
Yeah.
I used to draw. I used to draw little things, but I'm not really I'm not an artist. Says who?
Yeah.
And so my goal is every adult that I have, or every, you know, client that I have, especially teachers, because that's what I work with, is to connect them back to that creative thing that they used to do. Or even something that they did as an adult, they just set aside, they set down because they don't have time for it anymore. Knitting, crocheting, mm-hmm. Anything, cooking, you know, these crazy dishes that come up to, you know, that come in their mind instead of, you know, going by a recipe. Anything that requires them to think outside of the box and to use that skill or that thing that brought them joy. And so what I do a lot is I use Zentangles. You know, Zentangles are, if anyone's listening doesn't know what a Zentangle is, it's a drawing. It's a sketch. It's like a doodle. Mm-hmm. But it's using mindfulness. And so there is no wrong way to tangle. There are certain sketches that you can do or certain strokes that you can use, but you put them together however your mind wants it to be put together. And they're done very small so that if you look at it and you're like, I don't like it, you can toss it away. A lot of times I have them use post-it notes because, you know, as teachers, we have post-it notes all around.
Of course.
And so anyway, with that said, using that creativity to get them out of that lizard brain and into a more calm, reflective, and joyful state of being.
Yes. And I love the way that you brought up art, of course, because mm-hmm. lots of times people think about creativity as art. They think about, well, I'm not an artist. I'm not this. I'm not that. But then you brought up all these different things mm-hmm. that have to do with creativity that mm-hmm. are not necessarily drawing or painting mm-hmm. or whatever. And, you know, a little bit about me is that's why I do TikTok. One mm-hmm. of the things that I really enjoy is the acting component, because that is what mm-hmm. I've always done. I always was into theater. I became a teacher because I can then perform in front of my students, you know? And so like doing those things are really helping to support them in, again, moving from that lizard brain into mm-hmm. being in a more calm and reflective mm-hmm. state where they can access some of those things and remove themselves from the stressors of their day. And one of the things that I do on the show is I ask teachers stories, you know, teacher stories from experts I connect with. And I really think that empowers educators to know that they're not alone. So hearing mm-hmm. your story is really what is supporting those educators and feeling validated and feeling like, I'm not alone in this, you know? And maybe for those classroom teachers who are experiencing burnout, you talk about exploring your personal teacher story to gain clarity and healing. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Oh my gosh. This is, I don't want to use the term bread and butter because that sounds like financial, but this mm-hmm. is the heart of the work that I do with educators. This is the heart of it. So again, I always tell stories. So going back.
I love stories. Tell the stories.
One of the ways, matter of fact, the main way that I fought my way out of compassion fatigue and burnout, actually, and found joy was through my story. I was in therapy at the time.
I really hate to interrupt this episode, but I've got to bring you this really quick and remind you that getting help from a licensed professional is not a weakness. If you've listened to more than just this episode, you will notice that all of the educators that I speak with cite that therapy helped them through their tough times. And hey, while this podcast is meant to be helpful, it is not a replacement for therapy. I know so many educators who struggle with finding quality therapy near them or have difficulty managing appointments to see a therapist when our schedules as educators aren't really conducive for appointments to get help. That's why I've partnered with Talkspace, which is a comprehensive online mental health treatment website with various options to meet all of your needs. You can get ongoing support from a licensed professional from the comfort of your home, your car, wherever, because it's completely virtual and they accept many insurance plans as well. Stop putting yourself on the back burner because of the commute times and the scheduling hassles. Head over and save $100 on your first month at teachingmindbodyandsoul.com/talkspace and use the code SPACE, S-P-A-C-E, for flexible plans to meet your needs and lifestyles and save money while receiving high-quality mental health care. Back to the episode.
When I got out of the classroom again, I was very, very broken. And I wrote a letter to my students, and it was an apology letter for leaving them because I had a ton amount of guilt, teacher guilt, which is a big thing. Mm-hmm. And so it was just this apology letter on how I failed them. And it was just, you know, I was so sorry. And my therapist, you know, suggested that I start writing because I also write plays. Mm-hmm. And I remember maybe 2 weeks after I had put in my letter of resignation, I had a meeting with a friend. It was a lunch with a friend who had a theater company, and her name is Goldie Patrick. And she had a theater company called Fresh. And she was like, well, what are you going to do? Like, you're out of the classroom. What are you going to do now? And I'm like, I don't know. I really didn't think that far. You know, I think what I'm just going to do is, you know, try my hand at, you know, again, at acting. You know, just throw myself into that. And she was like, okay, well, you know, are you still writing? And I was like, yeah, you know, my therapist, I'm writing some things. She was like, okay, well, I have an opportunity. Would you like to do it? And I was like, yeah. She was like, I'll send you more information next week. Next week, I get an email from Goldie, and it is an opportunity to perform a solo work or any work at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. Like, yeah. That was her thing. And I was like, I'm thinking it's going to be like a small, like, show that we do in a warehouse somewhere, or, you know, something like that. She's like, no, you're going to go out there. We're going to get out there. So what are you going to do? I was like, I don't have anything written. So what happened was I took that letter and I wrote a solo show based off of that letter. And I was very fortunate to have my students, who I call my unicorns, there. A lot of them were there to see it. And it was wonderful. But I knew that it wasn't done. It was very much an apology letter. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to explore my story. And I was still hurting. You know, I had this wonderful gig at the Kennedy Center, but I was still broken. Mm-hmm. And so I started writing down everything that I could remember about my journey and all the great times, all of the sad times, all of the devastating times, all the funny times that I could remember. And weaved, is that the word? Put that inside of solo show.
Yeah.
So I put that inside of the solo show, and it turned into something different. And through that process, I found so much healing. I found the why, mm-hmm. you know, because when I left, it was just like, this is a waste. You know, I love my kids, but why? Why did mm-hmm. I spend all these years in a classroom for what?
Yeah.
And I found that why, and I found that joy, and I found that I really do love working with young people, and I really do love teachers, and I love teaching. Even when it didn't love me back, I loved it. Mm-hmm. And so I encourage teachers now And I have a program that walks teachers through the same process that I did, of finding their story and finding that joy again, finding that why. And we talk about, I think I did a post a while back, like, stop asking teachers, you know, to remember their why.
Yeah.
They know why they're teaching, but that why is bigger. My why was, why did I lose joy? Why did I lose it? Why did I lose those students? That was one of the questions that I wrote in my journal. Why did I lose them? Why me? Yes. And so when we're talking about why, we're not just talking about, you know, why did you become a teacher? We all know that.
Yeah.
But as our journeys continue, those why questions get a little bit more involved, a little mm-hmm. bit more deeper, you know? And when we look at that and we can explore that, we come back to ourselves. We yes. shed that falsehood of what a teacher should be. We really lean into, this is who I am. This is what I bring to a classroom and to my colleagues and to a school system. But not only that, this is what they bring to me.
Oh my gosh. You know, one of the things that you and I both do that I absolutely love is provide these professional development opportunities at schools. And anybody who's listening right now already knows, like, you are gifted in providing, like, just listening to you talk. I'm sitting here with my hand up just to listening to you, because I could just listen for hours. The stories that you tell really are a way that people are like, yes, that. I'm just sitting here yeah. saying, yes, that. But you do this in a way that helps create a positive culture of healing and of change. Can you tell the listeners, like, what one of your professional developments looks like and how you support schools and districts with these? Okay. Like, I know that they're going to want to grab you up and take you home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I actually have three programs right now that I offer to schools and school systems. One actually includes my solo show. And so that was like my flagship program, is Unicorn Teachers Combating Compassion Fatigue and Burnout in Schools. And so what I found and what I remember when I was in the classroom was that, honestly, a lot of the professional developments that I attended, I didn't like. Mm-hmm. One, it was either had nothing to do with me as a theater teacher, or was incredibly boring.
Yes.
And I had to work to glean the nuggets out of it, you know, because mm-hmm. it was so boring. Yes. And so I was like, you know what? If I'm going to offer professional development, I'm going to catch them immediately. And what I haven't seen a show. So theater starts with entertainment, but my take on theater is that it should always lead to enlightenment or learning mm-hmm. or questioning, right?
Yes.
And so I present this solo show, which is about maybe 45 minutes. And then right after, they can see how the pitfalls of compassion fatigue or burnout, and they can see it instead of necessarily me, like looking at somebody else's journey and then saying, wait a minute, that's how I did that, or that's what I think, or, mm-hmm. you know, and then afterwards we talk about what compassion fatigue, I lead a facilitated professional development on what compassion fatigue is, what burnout is, the things that we talked about today, and mm-hmm. then what can we do to make sure that we're not falling into these pitfalls. Where are we right now, personally, on the scale, on the compassion satisfaction and compassion fatigue scale? Where are you right now? Okay. And here are some things that we can do. And so we make an actual individualized plan for each person. Even if they aren't feeling compassion fatigue right now, what can you do when you start feeling this? What mm-hmm. are the signs? What are there? And so we do that. And that's the flagship program. But I also have programs where I go in and we explore teacher story and we look at their story. And then I give them tools to take back to their classrooms to help students in their SEL journey. and writing and connecting with their stories. And so that's also another one. I also do a full year of that, which is the third one. Full year support, where I come in and I give lots of workshops and then micro workshops.
Yeah. I mean, I know that any listener who's listening to your stories right now, they're like, okay, but like I've got to connect with this woman. That's how I felt when I first found you. I was like, I got to connect with this woman. She's amazing. But and I know that you have a free resource for teachers, and it's super powerful, and it's called the Unicorn Teachers Gratitude Journal. Can you share with the teachers the importance of gratitude really quickly? And I will definitely put where they can find that in the show notes as well.
Absolutely. Gratitude is the key. Sometimes we get so bogged down in the negatives, and there's so many right now. There's so many challenges to education that we're only looking at the negative parts of our lives. It impacts us in a way where we can't see the positives. And so what this journal does, it's a 7-day journal with prompts. And it gives you an opportunity to intentionally sit down and look at one thing that you are grateful for. Now, a lot of gratitude journals are, they'll say that, like, what's one thing you're grateful for the day? What's three things that you're grateful for? Well, this has prompts leading you to like very specific prompts that get you thinking about your day and about the people that you've interacted with.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And gratitude is such a huge piece of recognizing in that self-awareness, and also for being more self-compassionate as well, not just accepting all of the empathy for your students.
Absolutely correct. So this is a free journal. I also have another one called my Dopeness Journal, and it talks specifically about that self-compassion. When we look at ourselves and we're like, you know, you really can't see, you know, we make mistakes and we're always like, oh, you know, that just, I'm a bad person because I did that. No. Yeah. Or we can't see the beauty and the things that we do, the small things, the big things. And so the Dopeness Journal absolutely does that as well. But that self-compassion piece is so critical. So critical.
I'm going to put that in the show notes as well so that people can go and grab that one too. Cool. But for all those listeners who are interested in learning more about you, maybe they want to check out, I know on your website, you have some videos of you doing your solo show, doing your professional developments. Where can they find you and, you know, access your free and paid offers that you may have?
Absolutely. So the easiest way is honestly social media. That's the quickest way. On Instagram, it's @sculptedclay, and I'm just straight out @sculptedclay. I think it's @sculptedclay on Facebook as well. But those who are connected with me via social media, you definitely want to be, because I am having a retreat soon, a wonderful writing retreat for teachers next summer. And so you want to get all the information about that.
Awesome. I am so glad that I got to have you on the show. You are such a beautiful soul, and your storytelling is amazing. I could listen to you talk all day.
Thank you so much, Brittany. It's been it's been awesome being here again. Like I said, I love this podcast and I love what you're doing for teachers and with teachers, and just keep doing it. It's amazing.
Thank you. So as we mentioned in this episode, sometimes those teachers impacted by compassion fatigue don't even realize that they're experiencing it. As such, the first important step is awareness, and that can be done through self-awareness or awareness brought on from others. The next steps are to really put your well-being first through prioritizing yourself, setting those boundaries between work and home, like creating transitions when you come home from work, taking time away from work, refueling, practicing that self-compassion, and getting professional help. Because refueling and putting your well-being first looks very different for everyone, it's really important to consider how you can nourish your mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health on a daily basis that's sustainable and enriching for you. Maybe it means jamming out to music or going on short walks daily. Regardless of how this looks for you, it's really important to stay connected to the meanings and ask, What brings you joy as a caregiver, as a teacher? The more that you stay connected with that joy, the rewards, the hope, and sense of purpose, the more you decrease your chance at developing compassion fatigue. So if you want to learn more about Isis or learn more from her or any of the other amazing presenters from the 2022 Summer Self-Care Conference, her session is available in the Summer Self-Care Conference archive, which you can still grab your All Access Pass or All Access Pass bundle at teachingmindbodyandsoul.com/summer-self-care-conference or through the link in the show notes. If you're one of those teachers who's struggling from compassion fatigue, please remember you are a resilient teacher. We're in this together. You've got this. Before you go, head over to teachingmindbodyandsoul.com/podcast to check out any links, freebies, and resources discussed in this episode so that you can start recovering from or preventing burnout and reigniting your passion for teaching. If you liked this episode and it helped you or made you think in any way, I know it will be for other educators too. So subscribe and leave a review so more educators can find this community as well. Did you know that you can have an incredible impact on the teachers in your life? That's right. All you have to do is share what you learned today. Take a screenshot of the episode you're listening to and tag me and post it in your stories. What do you say that we start creating a trail for more teachers around us so that we can start to make the change in the system of education, how teachers are seen and respected, and for ourselves? I look forward to connecting with you more on Instagram at Teaching Mind, Body, and Soul or TikTok at Miss Princess Teach. I am always looking for an excuse to chat more about burnout, resilience, and teacher support. I'll see you in the next episode.